name, Lord Jesus, we continue with our lesson. And we are going to talk about how to analyze the scriptures. I think this morning we talk about, the importance of defining terms or phrases or concepts in the Bible, so that we will not misinterpret, the scriptures. I think I've given you some examples this morning. Now, I want to ask you a question. Think about this. We always say Jerusalem represents the church. What I want you to do is to find backup to your ideas. So, how do we know that Jerusalem is actually a prefiguration of the church or a reference to the church? Obviously, if you are teaching youngsters like 4 or 5 years old, you can, I would say you can bluff your way through it. But if you're teaching people 15, 16, 17 who can really think for themselves, then I think whatever we talk about should find, put it this way, basis from the scriptures. Right. Do you believe that Jerusalem represents the church, or prefigures the church? Anyone? Hebrews. Okay. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 22 here, it talks about the heavenly Jerusalem. Okay. Now, obviously, in the New Testament, descriptive words is placed before the word Jerusalem, like heavenly, or heavenly Jerusalem. And I think this is mentioned also in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, the new Jerusalem coming down from above. Obviously here, because it's tied, it ties with this church of the firstborn, So in a way, we find that Jerusalem refers to the church. Because verse 22 to verse 24, remember the other day we did this? We defined Zion, this morning actually. This morning we talked about this. So Zion is the city of the living God. What else? The heavenly Jerusalem. And what else? There's the church of the firstborn. Right? You see now? So, quite clearly, Jerusalem also refers to the church. Right? Now, I think in the New Old Testament scriptures, the two terms, Jerusalem and Zion, are used interchangeably. Right? Now I want you to read Zechariah. Turn to the book of Zechariah. Okay, we read chapter 8. Zechariah chapter 8. We read verse 3. Okay, chapter 8, verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Right? Now, so, you'll find that this is quite common. This kind of arrangement is very common in the book of Zechariah. Right? So Zion actually is Jerusalem. Jerusalem refers to the mountain of the Lord of hosts. And what is the holy mountain? Obviously, when you look at Micah and Isaiah, we know that what? It refers to the church. Right? Now, I think so far, in the lesson, we have been told that not only we talk about the text, you need to what? Talk about life application. Now, the thing is, if you cannot even analyze it carefully or correctly, then how can you apply or talk about life application? Right? Now, okay, so here you see the importance of defining terms, right? Stuff like that. Okay, do you have any question? Is it clear? Is it clear? Okay, now what I'm going to do tonight is, I will continue some of the main points tomorrow. But I find that this is a very important aspects of our belief. I think if this is shaky, then we can be easily swept away by, by falsehood, heresies, this one, I think this one you have to know it very well. Now, I think tonight I'm going to share with you, when you analyze the scripture, there are three things that you need to bear in mind. First, when you study the Bible, when you analyze the scriptures, right, before you come to a conclusion, you have to make sure that you use scriptures to explain scriptures. Paul says, well, you use spiritual things to explain spiritual things, right? Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. Now, turn to 1 Corinthians. We read chapter 2. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read verse 13. Okay, verse 13. Now, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Right? I think this is the basis of our Bible study. We said, we always use the scriptures to back up our ideas, our teachings, and so on and so forth. Right? So you use spiritual things to explain spiritual things, right? Now, or we said you use the Bible to explain, the scriptures to explain the scriptures. Now, I'm going to give you some very simple example for you to look at them. Yeah. Okay, I want you to turn to Matthew. Turn to Matthew. Okay. Now, Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 to verse 9 here talks about the parable of the sower. Alright, the parable of the sower. Okay. Now, if I ask you a question, you know that here it talks about the birds of the air, or the birds came and devoured them. And the birds here refer to what? Satan. How do you know? Somewhere. Somewhere in the Bible, yeah? Hey? Verse 19. Now, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes, snatches away also. Okay, now, so this is what we mean by, using scriptures to explain scriptures. Right? Okay, without this part of the scriptures, we would not have known, what the birds actually refer to. Okay, so that's why, what I said before, this is a very tedious exercise, right? You need to keep searching and analyzing, before you can get the answers. Okay, now, I wanted to show you another example. Another example, we turn to the Gospel of Luke. Yeah? Gospel of Luke. you know, sometimes we tend to explain things away. We try to go too far, you know, even beyond the context. Obviously, it is important for us to know the context and, you know, to apply, you know, whatever from the context to our life, right? Now, I think sometimes the Bible gives, you know, define the parameter, the boundary, for example, of the parable in Luke chapter 18. Yeah? Luke chapter 18, there are two parables here mentioned by Jesus. And I want to ask you a question. Can someone answer me, please? The first parable, what is the purpose of the parable? Why did Jesus talk about this parable in the first place? Why? chapter 18, yeah? You know, it's important for you to know the purpose, because we are talking about explaining scriptures with scriptures, okay? So that we will not, you know, go too far off the actual context, right? What do you think the purpose is?
To encourage to pray.
To encourage to pray.
Consistently.
Where do you get the idea from?
Verse 1 says, always ought to pray and not lose heart.
Okay, that's the purpose. Okay? Sometimes it appears in, you know, it's like the reason is given, yeah? Like the preamble, you know, to the parable. Okay, so before the parable is spoken, Jesus states the reason, yeah, for saying the parable, for teaching the parable. Right? Now, so it's quite clear to teach us that we always ought to pray. Not only we have to pray, there are two parts here, and in prayer we shouldn't lose heart. Okay. You know, sometimes prayers may not be answered, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, I don't think we should, you know, go outside the purpose stated here. So in explaining the scriptures, you understand what I'm saying? So you grasp the purpose, so you explain accordingly. Right? And so whatever you talk about in this parable should follow that direction. Okay, so I think by so doing, you make it easier for whoever your listeners might be here, yeah, to understand. You get what I'm saying? Alright? Now, okay, look at the second one. I think it's easier now. Verse 9 to verse 14. Okay, verse 9 to verse 14. What is the purpose of this parable? Now, again, the purpose might not appear at the beginning of the parable, alright? Sometimes you need to identify the purpose of the parable. What is that purpose? Anyone? Obviously, verse 9 is part of it, right? Now, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. So, to me, that is like a prompter, right, for Jesus to talk about the parable. Because he saw these people, right, you know, behave in such a way, and therefore he talked about the parable. I think the purpose is in verse 14, okay? Now, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for you. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Okay? So, that's the purpose. This is how you analyze the Bible. Right? That's the first part, yeah? Now, you use scriptures to explain scriptures. I'm very tempted to give you more examples based on the book of Revelation. But I resisted from doing so. Yeah. Now, you know, okay, some of you are so keen to. Okay, let me ask you a question. Turn to Revelation, yeah? Chapter 11. Chapter 11, yeah? Now, if you look at verse 2, now there are two things that I want you to explain to me. Now, the first one is what does it mean to tread the holy city or to trample down the holy city? Okay, that's the first one. The second is, who are the Gentiles? Who are the Gentiles? Now, obviously, okay, we let's look at the second part first, the second part. When we talk about Gentiles, the first thing that comes to our mind is, you know, people out with the church, those who do not believe in Jesus, and non-TJC believers. Now, all these are Gentiles. Yeah? But who do you think the Gentiles are? Now remember, these are the people who are trembling down the court, meaning they are within the confines, yeah, of the temple, if I can put it this way. You understand what I'm saying? They are not like people come from out with, you know, to come and tremble down the court. Well, they are within the confines of the church. Who do you think they are? Hmm? Who do you think they are? I did this before. Okay, now that's why sometimes you have to be very clear in your mind, okay? You cannot simply jump to the conclusion that look, if the Gentiles refers to non believers. Alright? Now, but what I said is within. These people are within the confines of the temple. Cool. Now, remember what Jesus said? He said, if someone sinned against you, speak to him. You know, if he does not listen, then what happened? Speak to him for the second time. And if he refuses to listen again, then get the elder of the church to speak to him. And then what happened? If he still insists on his own way, then what? Consider him as a yes, Gentile or heathen or pagan. Is it also? What? No. So you find that those who are trembling down the court are those who what? Those who disobey God. Now, what does it mean to tread the holy city underfoot or to tremble down the court? What does it mean to you? And so I said this kind of concept you need to look for verses to back up your explanation. Right? I tell you, when you talk about like prophetic book, the safest way is to find what? A definition from other part of the scriptures to back up your explanation. Otherwise, you know, you can come up with something which is very different, completely different from the intended meaning of the scriptures. Yeah? Is it okay? What? Okay, let's look at it. Chapter 3:8. Okay. Ezekiel chapter 3:8. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces and your forehead strong against their forehead.
Chapter 8, verse 9.
They said to me, go in and see the wicked abomination which they are doing there. But does it explain the idea of treading down the court? I think the meaning is there, but it does not really define it. Is it also? Yeah? It's not really defining. So what do you think trembling down means? Okay, everybody's tired, I'm also tired. This lesson is always tiring lesson. Okay, never mind. We turn to chapter 1 of Isaiah. Okay, chapter 1 of Isaiah. Okay, we read verse 12. Yeah? Chapter 1 of Isaiah, verse 12. Okay. Now, when you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to tremble my court? Okay. Now, you find that these people, they came to God and they offered sacrifices to Him. You know, and yet God said that, you know, their sacrifices are likened to what? Trembling down the court. You get what I'm saying? Right? So there's the definition. So it's so important to get it right. Right? Meaning today, if I serve God with sin in my heart, or, you know, with hatred, you know, if you read on, you can see how these people bullied, you know, their own and stuff like that in chapter 1. And not only that, you'll find that their hands are full of blood, you know, and they continue to do evil, and yet they serve God. Yeah? And that amounts to what? Treading down the city, the temple of God. You get what I'm saying? Right? So it becomes very clear. So with this understanding, then you can, what? You can talk about life application. Right? You understand what I'm saying? Again, I said, there's no shortcut, to be honest. You need to do the hard way, to be honest. Okay? And I feel that if you do that, you learn much more. Yeah, much more. Okay, now, so, that's the first point. Now, the second point is, you know, when you analyze, yeah, sometimes when I talk to members from other Christian denominations, one thing that I realize, I find that their teachings and their, we said the exegesis, yeah, the way they explain the scriptures is very different from ours. You know, sometimes I just wonder what is going on here. How come it's like an ocean apart, eh? Heaven and hell. You know, so far apart. It's unbelievable. Right? Now, I think it has come to my mind that because, you know, in the true Jesus Church, we know that there is a pattern. Okay? So, what I'm going to do now is, you need to know the patterns in order for you to analyze the scriptures accurately. Okay? If you do not know the patterns, chances are that you will stray away. Or you will digress. Right? Now, I want to give you an example. Let's see what Paul says first. Now, before I talk about the connections between Paul and the Apostolic Church, which I will do it tomorrow, now I want to mention this to you first. You know that he received direct revelation from God. Yeah? Okay. Let's assume that Paul is the first generation receiver of the word. Just like at the beginning of the true Jesus Church, right, when we talk about the doctrines, it's like the doctrine were given to the what? First generation of workers. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? Now, let's assume Paul is the first generation of workers, and tomorrow I will connect, you know, the idea of Paul's teaching and the teachings of the Apostolic Church. Okay? Now, what I want to do is, I want to read when he said to Timothy, and see what he said, yeah, to him about. Okay? I want to first read, Romans, yeah? We read Romans first. Romans chapter 2. Okay. Now, Romans chapter 2, we read verse 16. Okay. Romans chapter 2, we read verse 16. Now, in the day when God will judge the secret of man by Jesus Christ. Now, look at what Paul says. According to my gospel. It's like Paul was very confident to say that the gospel that he preached actually is what? From him. Now, obviously we know that the gospel that Paul had came from God. Yeah? But why did he say that, you know, the gospel that he preached is, you know, the things that he talked about is according to his gospel. Okay? Now, I want you to understand this, yeah? I want you to read First Timothy. Turn to First Timothy. Chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 11, yeah? Okay. Now, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Okay? Now, what we said before, yeah? He was like exiled after his conversion. He went to the desert of Arabia, you know, and he went back to Tarsus, and he probably, you know, was wandering about for 14 long years, you know. Didn't really know what to do, and at that point in time, he was given revelation. It's like the gospel, yeah, was committed to him. You understand what I'm saying? That's why he's the first generation of workers who received the word of God. Now, so he is the recipient of the word. So whoever that came later, yeah, cannot be different from what he has received. Okay? Now, how do we know? We turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, yeah? 2 Timothy, we read chapter 2. Right? Chapter 2. See what Paul says to Timothy here. Verse 7 and verse 8. Okay? Now, consider what I said, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Verse 8, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Because Paul was the first one to preach about this, okay? You get what I'm saying now? Right? He was the first one probably to tell Timothy about this. That's why I said according to my gospel. Now, when this gospel was told to Timothy, Timothy was advised to what? To consider what Paul has said and to remember what Paul has said. You get what I'm saying? Right? Now, so for us to understand the Word of God accurately, we need to stick to the pattern that the church has received from the beginning. Now, if you deviate from that, then no way you can understand the Bible accurately. That's why every time when I talk to outside people who are not of the TJC, I wonder, how is it that they are so different from, their teachings are so different from our teachings? Yeah? Now, we can come to a conclusion because they have not been given this gospel, this pattern. But there is a pattern, you know, that we need to build upon it. You understand what I'm saying? Alright? Now, you find that Paul never once, yeah, tried to promote what? Promotes differences in the gospel. Right? Never once. Not even once. And it's, in fact, he told Timothy that you need to consider what I've said to you. Okay? Remember what I said to you according to my gospel. Because he's the first one to receive. That's why when you read the 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he always says what? This is what I have received from Christ. Okay? This is what I received from Christ. Now, we are like the third, fourth, or even fifth. You know, I'm the third generation in my family, so I'm the third generation believers. My children are the fourth. Probably you are the fourth generation as well. Is that so? So, when you study the scriptures, you need to think about what you have been given by the first generation workers. Okay? Now, because that is the pattern that God has given to them. So when you think about that pattern, then you'll find that your analysis of the scriptures will not deviate from the right path. Okay? To me, this is a spiritual thing. Okay? A spiritual thing. This is something that you cannot get it outside the church. That for sure. You cannot get it in what? In London, what? London University or what? Divinity or School of Divinity or whatever. You can't get it. I'm telling you. Right? That's why it's so important for us to understand this. Okay? If we try not to remember, try not to consider what the church has received, you are bound to deviate from the right path. and then forget about your analysis of the scriptures, you can never be accurate. You will end up not believing in the teachings of the true Jesus Church. Alright? So this is the patterns, okay? Now I want you to read chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We read verse 13, yeah? Verse 13. Verse 13. Now hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Now the pattern has been passed down from Paul to Timothy. We always say we need to pass down our faith, isn't it? Yeah? Now, listen, your father, okay? Or your grandfather, or your grandparents that believe in what? In the true Jesus Church being the only true church. Now, listen, now, you know, the faith is being passed down. When it comes to your generation, do you still believe in it? Alright? Very important. That's why we need to consider the faith that our parents had. We need to think about it. By so doing, God, Paul says, God will give you wisdom. God will give you understanding. Right? Now, I think this understanding is so crucial in your understanding of the scriptures when you study the Bible. You get what I'm saying now? Is that clear? Hello? Everyone is dozing off. Shall I repeat this tomorrow? Are you getting me? Your faith cannot be different from the first generation believer. Simple as that. Okay? This is what Paul is saying to you. So, if your faith remains the same, then your analysis of the scriptures will be accurate, because Paul says God will give you understanding. Right? Paul will give you, God will give you understanding. Right? Now what I want to talk about is the, you know, the tradition of the church, yeah? The way the church explains, you know, there are some concepts, yeah? If you have not thought about it, okay, you would feel that, oh, this kind of concept are unacceptable. You know, how on earth, yeah, did the early workers, you know, come up with this kind of idea? So you start questioning or whatever. Okay, I'll give you a very simple example. I want you to turn to the book of Psalms 107. Okay. Psalms 107. Psalms 107, we read verse 33 and then we read verse 35. Now, he turns rivers into a wilderness and the water spring into dry ground. Verse 35, he turns the wilderness into pools of water and dry land into water spring. Now, I tell you, without the tradition of the church, yeah, I don't think you can ever explain this verses. What is God doing here? Is he playing a game? When he's happy, you know, he turned wilderness into river. When he's angry, he turned what? River back to wilderness. What is he talking about here? You understand what I'm saying? Right? It doesn't make sense. That's why, you know, if you look at other churches or whatever commentary, they explain it away. Right? Because they were not given the pattern. The tradition of their church is not from God. Their traditional belief. Right? Now, the New Testament scriptures talks about traditions. Actually, if you look at it very carefully, tradition is likened to teachings or even doctrines. Equal. Right? Now, what is the writer talking about? Now, I want you to look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah Now, Isaiah chapter 32. Okay, if you look at verse 14, and actually you should start from verse 12, but never mind, you read from verse 14. It talks about how this, joyous city turned into a deserted place, right? Now, how can this state be reverted? Now, when you read verse 15, it says, until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high. And the wilderness become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is counted as a forest. Now, so it's quite clear, right? Because in the true Jesus Church, we believe that there are two periods of reigns. Is it not so? Yeah? And so, with that idea in mind, when you look at all these passages, they make a lot of sense to us. Because basically, these passages are talking about what? Talking about these two periods of reigns here. You understand what I'm saying? So without the patterns, it's impossible to understand. So we are given the pattern, and we have to analyze the scriptures in the light of the patterns that we have received. Yeah. the pattern that the church has received. Very sadly, recently I'm not sure whether I should talk about this. Trainee preachers who said to me that a TJC lecturer who does not believe in the early rain and the latter rain anymore, right? And he does not believe that that refers to the Holy Spirit, the two period of rains. Right? Sometimes you wonder, how is it that the faith is being passed down and up when it comes to our generation? It's like everything has become distorted. Right? It's quite unbelievable, I'm telling you. You understand what I'm saying? Right? So if you want to teach people, then you have to make sure that you teach the words of life. Words that can bring salvation. You don't teach theology, right? To me, theology does not save. The truth of God saves. The patterns of the sound must be upheld. But it seems that it's no longer being upheld. So, when I saw them, they asked me, one of them actually was very honest. He said, My belief was virtually, knocked down by the guy. Yes. So, that's what I said. This is the danger that the TJC is facing today. I'm telling you. That's why we need to be very faithful to the words, to the patterns of the sound, to the teachings that the church has received. Otherwise, I cannot imagine, let's say, after three or four more generations, what would become of our church? What would happen to our church? I don't. To be honest, I don't know. It's like, the future of the church is bleak. It's not bright at all. So I hope, this generation from you people now onwards, you must be very faithful to the word. You faithful to the word of God, not to men. You believe in the word of God. You are not believing in the philosophy of man. You have to make it clear. Otherwise, you cannot imagine if we send you to Africa. How do we know what you are teaching the children? How do you know what you are teaching? Teaching them. If you're not faithful, how do we know? Serious. Right? Okay. So, the tradition of the church must be upheld. Okay? Now, one thing I have to make a point here. Now, obviously, some of the thing explained, the church, that the church talks about might not be very clear. But I always said, this is our time, our generation, to explain them clearly. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah? Right? Okay. Do you have any questions so far? The patterns. Tomorrow we'll talk a bit about the form. Right? Everything comes with a form, including the law of God. There's a form as well. Okay. You know, even when you look at the New Testament scriptures, no one's worker's belief is above the others. They are the same. Yeah, the same. Any questions? Now that's why you need to ask yourself very clearly. You need to ask yourself very clearly. Now, because we are there, if you go to teach, you are not just teaching us about Bible stories, you know, like if you go to Africa, really, you are required to teach them the basic belief of the church. So my question is, do you fully believe in the doctrines of the church? That's the most important question. You know, I believe in this. If you don't believe in this, then what is the point of doing that? There's no point. Because you are not bringing life to them. We are just like blind men leading the blind. Right? So to me, I realize that, you know, for the past many years, I think the most urgent task of the church is to work hard on the doctrine. Because the doctrines are being challenged like never before. If you can't even defend your own tradition, how are you going to teach? How are you going to analyze the scriptures? You can't. No way. No way near to that. Alright? Now, class, bear this in mind. Okay? We are ambassador of Christ. We don't speak our own words. We speak the word of God. We speak what is given to us. Remember that. Right? We are not here to invent our own theory, our own ideas. We are here to faithfully convey the message that the church has received, the tradition of the church. Just like what Paul said to Timothy. Right? Now, ponder over what I said to you, remember what I said to you, and God will give you understanding. To be very honest with you, right? You know, this is my personal experience. When I try to hold on to the tradition of the church, every time when I think about, you know, things that I think are not very clear, then somehow I'm able to what? To gain deeper insight into the things that the church has received. Okay? Now you can imagine if you are given this insight, everything becomes very easy for you to explain and talk about. Scriptures become very clear to you. Sometimes the Bible is unclear. You say, what is it talking about? Because your own concept is not clear. Because you don't even believe in the tradition of the church. That's why everything is clouded. You can't see it very clearly. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Please bear this in mind. You are the next generation. You are the next generation of teachers or whatever. Right? But be faithful to the word that the church has received. Okay, any questions? Any questions? You know the reason given is this, okay? Talking about the two-period reign. You know the reason given is what? He said, in the land of Palestine, there are more than two periods of rain, because even during the winter time, there's wintry shower. That's why we cannot take these two periods of rain to represent the two periods of the downpour of the Spirit. It's true because according to what? The book of Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 9. I think so. There's such thing called wintry shower. It's raining in winter time. Yeah? Now, doesn't mean that, you know, there's shower in winter, therefore this two period of rain cannot represent the Holy Spirit. You get what I'm saying? Okay. You know that's why if you set your mind, your heart, on the Word of God, on the tradition of the church, the belief of the church, you will not go wrong. I trust in God for that. Okay? Now, you know that the Word of God is not like the theory of evolution. They can evolve and then change into something totally different from what you first believe. You cannot see this in the New Testament scriptures. Right? Never once you can find in the Bible, never once did the apostle say that, you know, oh, the belief that I received before now is no longer true. No such thing. Okay? Now, so, can I wrap this? No? Just quickly. Okay. Right, two period, yeah? Wintry shower. We cannot deny that according to Song of Songs 9. Okay? There's such thing called wintry shower. You get what I'm saying? Now, you know that this one is, the shower is given before what? The sowing of seed, right? And this one is given before harvesting, right? And we find that it all involved with planting, yeah? Mm-hmm. And this one is harvesting. Okay? Now, life involved here. Life. Now, here, even there is wintry shower, there's no life. No life form. You understand what I'm saying? Now, if you look at this two periods, apostolic time and the TJC, you realize that the Spirit of God continues to work. Okay? Now, in one way, for example, the translation of the scriptures into different languages is the work of the Spirit. Right? But in this period of time, there's no saving of souls. You understand what I'm saying? And the other thing is, during this period of time, you find that the Bible is canonized. It's made into a complete book. Is this not the work of the Spirit? Yes, it is. Right? Does it mean that because the Spirit works here, therefore, you know, these two periods of rains cannot be representative of the two periods of the Spirit, the coming of the Spirit? You understand what I'm saying? There are a lot of theories that are trying to knock down unbelief. I'm telling you, even people from within the church, unbelievable. When I heard about this, I said, ah, my goodness. Okay, read one more time before we close. Yeah? I'm going to read again. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, we read chapter 2. We read verse 7. Consider what I said, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Consider what I said. Paul is saying to Timothy, consider what he said, so that God would give him understanding in all things. So today, in our context, we consider what the church has said to us, and God will give us understanding. If you are given understanding, then the what? All the teaching in the scriptures is like standing up. You know, you can see them very clearly. You understand what I'm saying? Now, on the contrary, if you deviate from the right path, you can see nothing, I'm telling you. You see nothing. Even what you have been given will be taken away from you. This is not a joke. It's very something very serious. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow. That's right.